It's time now for the political analysis of Fromm and Fuller. Al Fromm, former political advisor to President Bill Clinton, and Craig Fuller, former political advisor to both Presidents Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. Good morning, all. Al, as you know, over the last 2 days, Speaker Johnson has pulled together a stopgap measure to keep the government running at least until February of next year. Ironically, it looks like the same deal that Speaker Kevin McCarthy was trying to pull off only a month ago. How does this strike you at this point?
Well, I think passing the stopgap spending bill, the continuing resolution, is a good thing for the country because it avoids a government shutdown. I'm sure it'll make members of Congress feel better because they can now go home for the holidays with a less guilty conscience. But I suspect, in reality, you know, it still just kicks the can down the road a couple of months. Look, this Speaker Johnson's spending bill is the McCarthy spending bill. It's the same bill. It continues the deal that McCarthy made with President Biden over the debt ceiling. He still couldn't pass it with Republican votes. He needed Democratic votes to pass. In fact, he couldn't even get it out of it, get the Republican bill to the floor because he had too many objections in his own caucus. So he had to go to this unusual procedure of putting this bill up on what they call the suspension calendar, which means that it can go directly to the floor without going to the Rules Committee, but it needs a two-thirds vote. And the way he got the two-thirds vote was he got 209 out of 211 Democrats. So, I mean, still, you know, Democrats still had to bail him out just as they had to bail out McCarthy. Look, what that meant is that the Republicans still can't govern in the House because what I call the nutcase caucus still has operational control of the House. I think Texas Congressman Chip Roy said it best. He made a speech on the House floor where he was regaling his Republican colleagues and said, "Tell me one thing I can campaign on. Tell me one thing the Republican caucus has accomplished." And they couldn't answer that question, but he did give the Democrats a lot of good material for campaign ads.
Greg, what's your take? A few commentators have noted that they thought that Speaker Johnson was showing some undiscovered leadership skills through this. What's your thoughts?
Well, like Al, I think one good day that avoids the shutdown of the government over the holidays is one good day. Whether this is a new sign of leadership from Speaker Mike Johnson or not, I think we have to take it. It remains, as Al suggested, it remains a very volatile place. And trying to make too many predictions based on one good day is probably a bit perilous. I will say that one of the ingredients in the mix over the next several weeks in the holiday period is the attitude of the voters. Because while there's a whole lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen in Congress, there is one thing about which we can be certain. And those who hold office want to stay in office. When you look at the polling, the most recent polling suggests that 80% of Republicans and 86% of Democrats want their elected officials to compromise to get things done, not to stand on principle. And if that message comes across to people, and this one good day, which keeps the government running, is something that members of Congress hear about, it's getting closer to primary election season. It's getting closer to a November election next year. Still that a long ways away, but still closer. Maybe they'll return to Washington with some sort of newfound courage to compromise to get things done. The toughest road lies ahead with these budget measures, appropriation measures. And the minority in the Republican caucus, the small minority, is making sounds like they're going to go right after Mike Johnson unless they get what they want. It's a very strange phenomenon that they would come together to elect a speaker, but within 3 weeks be so disrespectful, they're essentially, as one of them said, firing a shot across the bow. I do think Mike Johnson, who is emerging out of this as, somebody who's a serious player and wants to get things done, wants to work with the Democrats if necessary to do it, may come back and find a little bit of a different climate in Congress. But I suspect volatility will be the name of the game for some time going forward.
Now, do you think that Mike Johnson has shown some unique skills here? Or you wonder what Kevin McCarthy thinks, right?
We know what Kevin McCarthy thinks. He walked past one of the people who voted to oust him and elbowed him in the kidney. That's what he thinks. He's still trying to deal with his own anger. Look, Mike Johnson is what he is, and that ain't much. He's still a leading election denier. That isn't going to help him work across party lines. But the Democrats wanted to save the government. They wanted the government to continue, so they gave him his vote, gave him the votes. Same way, and think about this. I mean, McCarthy was able to do that too because he got Democratic help. When Democrats say, we're not going to help you, like we're not going to help McCarthy save his job, what happens? He lost his job. This Republican caucus is still dependent on Democrats. Craig said a very important thing. Voters want compromise. And when Craig and I were in politics, we compromised all the time. But he also said voters don't want you to stand on principle. I don't think that's right. I think that voters want you to fight for your principles. And when he and I would deal, or our colleagues would deal, we tried to stick to our principles, but compromise in ways that could further them, but also move the country ahead. While I don't have a lot of faith that those poll numbers are going to make a big difference, is because, as Craig said, we have primaries before we have the general election. And the problem is in both parties, because the districts are so gerrymandered, that the real contest is in primaries. And in primaries, the value is not compromise, because don't forget, it's only a small percentage of one party that votes in those primaries. The value is not compromise. It's adhering to the usually the most extreme party line. So when members want to protect their seats, the way they do it is not by moving the compromise, because they're going to win the general election if they get the nomination. It's by moving to the extreme so they can satisfy their primary voters.
Craig, switching subjects, I was interested in the response to political consultant David Axelrod's forceful message to Joe Biden to think seriously about getting out of the race. And as you know, Axelrod was very close to President Obama. They both served in the Obama administration. This was not your typical pundit making some comments. Did you read that, and did you have any thoughts about that?
I did read it, and I've heard him talk about it, and probably David Axelrod and I are not always aligned either, but on this one, we probably are and have been for a while. And I think what he speaks to is a concern on electability. I mean, I know on this program, Al and I have both talked about, people make decisions or think about the condition of a candidate today, and comment. Well, that's one thing. But try running around the country for 2, 3, 4 months. Try going through a national convention. And what are these candidates going to look like, come September or October? And I think the challenge for Joe Biden is literally just getting through what my friend Lee Atwater once said is a marathon. And you know, you have to almost train for it and condition yourself for it, whether you're a candidate or a staff member. And so Axelrod knows that. He's been through it. And Al and I have been through it. And it just seems like there are a number of reasons. Yesterday reminded us that Joe Biden could talk about playing on the world stage, about, you know, trying to make progress with some of our adversaries, dealing with the important issues of the day, and go out somebody out of office as somebody in 2025 that has accomplished a great deal for his country, his party, or he can get beaten up in a campaign, the outcome of which is frankly uncertain. And I think, you know, Al and I have said from our perspective at our age that it's time for younger leadership to step in. And again, I think David Axelrod is speaking to that. I certainly think it's also the case in the Republican Party. I still am hopeful we have people heading the ticket that are neither Joe Biden nor Donald Trump by the time we get into next year. But it's, you know, it's just not at all clear that either of those two are willing to step away at this point.
Al, you have the last word this week.
Well, I think David Axelrod reflects the views of a lot of Democrats who've been talking privately about it. As Craig and I have said, we'd love to see a new generation of leaders. But the other thing is politics is what it is. And I suspect as long as Donald Trump is the Democratic front runner, we're not going to see any movement by Joe Biden. Biden is going to run against if Trump is the nominee. I would guess that if somehow the Republicans were able to derail Donald Trump, Biden might really reconsider. But I think the way he looks at it is, very simply, is that in 2024, we're going to have an up or down vote on democracy. That Trump is an anti-democratic candidate. He's called for terminating the Constitution. His people are floating an agenda of the grossest kind of autocracy for a second term. And Biden is going to be the pro-democracy candidate. So I think he's going to stay in the race. The one more comment I want to make is that makes these third party candidates very dangerous, because the country really needs, if Trump is the nominee, the country needs an up or down vote on democracy. And it can't be muddied by a lot of other fringe candidates or third party candidates, because they can't win. They're just spoilers. They can't win. But what they can do is split the anti-Trump, anti-democratic vote, or the pro-democratic vote. They split that, which is an anti-Trump vote, and they could allow Trump to win. And I just think our democracy is a little bit too fragile to at this point play with third-party fantasies. But, you know, it would probably be desirable for us to have two different candidates. But right now, you have to say that it looks like it's going to be Trump versus Biden. And to me, the most important thing is to make sure that all of that pro-democracy vote, which is a slight majority, but only a slight majority, is not split up so that we can preserve our democracy. And then in 2028, we'll have a whole different cast of characters.
Well, we have to leave it there. Al Fromm, Craig Fuller, thank you so much indeed. We'll be taking the Thanksgiving holiday off, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.